Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing.
He pinned her to the wall, legs entwined, grinding. Hands slid up and down her nubile body, slick with sweat.
Today on My First Time, more and more people are reading erotic fiction. 50 Shades of Grey made sure of that. Alma Zohini is an erotic fiction writer, as in she writes sexy stories. She's been writing about sex from her perspective as a woman of colour in the UK for the past decade or so. She's even launched her own website, part erotica and part sex ed, on kayleedanielsdated.com. This is her story, or rather, to start, this is some of her erotic writing.
Lips locked and tongues flicking, serpentine. Together they edged to the wall. They could feel the bass throbbing in their chests. He pinned her to the wall, legs entwined, grinding. Hands slid up and down her nubile body, slick with sweat, slipped inside her lace cups and pinched her already hard nipples. Moaning softly, she nibbled his bottom lip, then bit hard. Her bottom was squeezed harder still until she let out a small groan and encircled her legs around him. As they undulated, her pelvis sought out the tip and their hungry eyes locked. Startled, they leapt apart.
Our guest has been writing for a while. She started when she was just 18 years old, before she'd even had sex.
Yes, I'd gone to visit someone at university and I think had some snogging times in a club with some boy. And then on the way back on the train, I remember thinking about it and I remember thinking about how hot it was. And I just had a notebook with me, so started writing something on the way back. So it's fiction, but it was kind of from some of those feelings I'd experienced then. It probably took me the whole train journey to write. I remember closing my eyes and writing a couple of sentences and then giggling to myself and then scribbling them out and like trying something else. I'd been writing blog posts and things about my life and about current affairs before that, so I was quite used to writing stuff, but I'd never written anything that was erotic. But I really, really, really enjoyed it. These days, we often forget that we're humans with bodies and we kind of almost live outside our bodies. So for me, it was very grounding to write stuff so much about bodies.
As a kid, Almaz was ahead of the class, enjoying books like Lady Chatterley's Lover and On Chesil Beach. She wasn't exposed to super sexy stuff, but she did like books which referenced sex.
I've always been a massive reader and I think I was always reading ahead of my age group, so discovered quite a lot of stuff that had sex in quite early, like way before I was actually ever doing any sex stuff. I had like read about it. I was kind of fascinated by like feelings that you could get, like physical feelings, and I got the impression that it was something that was important to quite a lot of people. And the way that it was often set up in books was it was taboo, but also something that it was something that adults did and it was really fun and that people were kind of aiming for in life. I'd seen pop-ups on the internet when I was younger. When did we get a computer at home? In about 2001. So I'd seen some porn, but it wasn't really... Mainstream porn is very... It's not a reflection of how people behave in real life, basically. So I think that you have to be kind of careful if you're watching porn too young and then translating what you see in mainstream porn into what you actually do in your own sex life.
Almaz didn't jump into erotic writing straight away. She started her blog at university.
I left it for a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years before coming back to writing something raunchy. So I started this blog and started posting some of my erotic pieces there. So my uni friends kind of read it. And actually, I used to go to parties and sometimes read them out. I'd be like, oh, guys, look what I did last night. And then I'd like get it up from my diary or on the internet or whatever, and then read it. And everyone was like, oh, that's quite raunchy. Because I don't think people had ever read anything raunchy written by a fellow student before. And then actually, I noticed that my style kind of changed and it became more stereotypical. And actually, I don't think that kind of stuff is successful. Like, it's quite different from my usual kind of singular style. I write very simply with a lot of emphasis on physical feelings rather than in and out kind of thing. And I find it really difficult. Like, I try not to use words like penis and vagina because I think it kind of stalls the writing. And then other euphemisms just sound really, really odd. So that's what I really struggle with, like naming body parts. So I kind of leave that out and put the sentence together in such a way that you know what's happening to a body part without having to name it.
Our guest Almaz uses plenty of interesting techniques to find inspiration. She's always discussing her stories with mates.
So to write my stories, we'll just be like chatting just one Friday night about something. And then so I'll think of a situation that we might have been talking about. And then I think, how can I turn this into a scene and then create a bit of a narrative around it? Because I write in vignette form, I don't have to be so on the ball with time frames. So I write really short pieces. Like, the longest thing I think I've ever written is 800 words. And some of my pieces are just 150 words. So really, really short. So you can't tackle super, super, super deep issues in that space, but you kind of get an idea of the overall feeling, which is quite nice. Inspiration strikes in strange places. So now that we've all got iPhones, I do write a few bits down just in the notes section of my iPhone. But then I usually write properly at home. And on my writing desk, I have two artist's posable mannequins I've actually brought into the studio because it's quite hard to choreograph realistic sex scenes. So I spend a lot of time posing them and like pretending that they're banging, basically, to write the stories. And since I started using them, I think my stories have like become a lot more, they flow a lot better. Otherwise, I was just like imagining stuff and I would close my eyes. But sometimes it's difficult to remember where different hands are. And because if you've got two people, you've got four hands. And if you're doing a group sex scene, there's just lots of things going on. People ask me all the time, is it you? And I say that it's not. If you look how we've drawn Kaylee each time, she looks different and people think it's me because often I'm the only reference point that they have of a woman of colour who's owning their sexuality. I mean, there are many other women out there doing stuff, but people who have seen the project think that it's me.
Almaz is doing something original. In the context of erotic fiction, there are so few good writers talking about race and sex. She's always rethinking how she approaches things.
Because I think words like penis and vagina are very medical and don't fit well in entertainment writing. They sometimes work really well for comedy value, but what I write is not really comedic. So I think that's something that I have to explore more, kind of trying to find ways of possibly mentioning body parts. In some of my writing, I have used words like cock and like pussy and stuff, but the stuff that I'm writing now, it just doesn't feel quite right. It just feels a bit coarse for the type of writing that I'm doing. Although what I write is really very, very, very explicit. And some of it is non-consensual, which is problematic, but it's fiction.
Now with more experience under her belt, Almaz has launched her own erotic fiction project. She's even looking to crowdfund it this February. But I wonder what her friends think of it all.
They kind of said it was good and that it was dirty and raunchy, but not in a negative way, but just kind of, yeah, for them it was more like they never thought of someone from their peer group writing that kind of stuff. You usually think of someone a lot older writing that kind of stuff.
Dealing with your friends' reactions is one thing, but appreciation for Almaz's writing is growing all the time. And her USP? She's writing about it as a woman of colour.
So it's really important for me that Kaylee is visibly darker skinned, because I'm sure you've noticed that there's a trend for really honest depictions of women's sexuality at the moment. But in the mainstream media, this is mainly viewed by Caucasian women's experiences. Like, we hardly ever see women of colour on TV or read about them in books depicted when they're depicted in risque encounters. So I've kind of cast Kaylee the way you see her to kind of challenge the status quo. Also, we don't really get to see showcases of work by women of colour. So I've deliberately gone out and commissioned loads to take on roles within my project. So Paris, who's the illustrator, she's Caribbean heritage. And then I've got lots of my experts who are also women of colour too. And then at my event, I had Bridget Minamore and Yomi Adeyoke to read some of their books as well. So that was good. I really think that Black women's sexuality isn't discussed enough. And when it is, it's kind of discussed in a dysfunctional way. The viewpoint is taken that it's a dysfunction that needs to be sorted out rather than just women going about their way, trying to pull people, whether it's ill-advised or not, but just the same way that any other women go about being sexy in the world. Sometimes women of colour sexuality is dealt in kind of really hard-hitting films, Precious and things like that, that it's really harmful stuff. And we don't really see women's sexuality depicted in a more light-hearted way in general. I've just been making a Kickstarter video to kind of explain the project. And I have 9 examples of shows that did really, really well commercially in the mainstream. And basically none of them have any Black characters in. So I looked at The Diary of a Call Girl, 600 Bottles of Wine, Girls, Fleabag, The L Word, and all these different ones. Oh, Sex and the City, notoriously bad for diversity. And I think at the moment there is She's Got to Have It that came out on Netflix, which was a recent remake of the Spike Lee film. And she's an artist and she's polyamorous. But apart from that, I mean, I haven't looked at like everything that's out there. But there's really hardly any portrayals of women of colour in certain situations who are kind of owning their sexuality and not prostitutes.
Our guest Almaz uses her writing to explore new sexualities and relationships. And if you're into this podcast, then I'm sure you'll understand the complexity and diversity of the sexual experience. That's what we're all about. Reading Almaz's website, she gets that as much as anyone.
At the moment, all the pieces that I'm writing are going on a web platform called KayleeDanielsDated.com. And it's about a fictional character called Kaylee. And the launch story is about her 30th birthday party. And she gets embroiled with her pal called Jack. And then she goes on to write about her other adventures with all kinds of different people. And then from that, I take a theme from each of the raunchy stories and commission an expert or a sexpert to write about that theme to hopefully educate people about their sexuality and desires and bodies. So some of the themes that I'm talking about in the body talk pieces are how to avoid UTIs or cystitis, exhibitionism. Some people are really into flaunting themselves. Polyamory. There are lots of people living in cities who are really rejecting the idea of monogamy, but still people don't really know much about it. So I've had someone write a piece about that. And then physical attraction, which is really interesting because there's always debates about whether we're attracted to things because we've been culturally told about them in the media, or whether there's something innate behind it and whether people do actually like certain ratios of faces and bodies. So that one's coming out later in December. So I'm excited for that one. And then, of course, there's one about consent, which is really, really important with all the stuff that's happening with Me Too, etc.
Thanks for listening to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. And thank you very much to our guest, Alma Zohini. Check out her website at kayleedanielsdated.com. That's Kaylee spelled K-A-Y-L-E-I-G-H. My name is Zing Sing, and I'm the UK editor at Broadly. This episode was produced by Sam Bonham. If you like what you hear, rate us and subscribe to the podcast. And please check out the article on Broadly featuring Almaz. See you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.